Memories from long ago when she shared that. Amen. Let's just pray again real quick, Father. My words will not make any difference, but your words will. So take the burning coal off the altar. Touch my mouth. Touch my lips. Let it be you speaking to these people today. You know exactly, Lord, what we need to hear the way we need to hear it. We pray for open hearts, open minds, open spirits, Lord. We say, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. And we do follow that rule. Eat what is set before you and just believe God. Sometimes there's a, you know, you need a little Pepto-Bismol in there, but it's nothing major. Nothing major. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Well, we love the Lord like you do. We have 23 years serving in Mexico. We are in 4 churches now, and they have not visited our last two. Our last two. So we have 4, and we serve in the villages. And it's just a real joy. We continually pray for strength. I say in the Spanish Bible, your Bible says, you know, they that wait on the Lord will be renewed. Their strength will mount up like wings of eagles, okay? And it talks about having the strength of eagles. In the Spanish Bible, it says he'll renew our strength like the buffalo. Yeah, it really does. But I'll tell you what, a buffalo, I think, is stronger than an eagle. I said, I'll go with buffalo. Renew our strength like the buffalo, Lord. So we run here and there. The churches are a distance from each other. But it is a privilege. It is an honor. So we're going to run. All right, you ready to run with me? Because I'm used to preaching an hour. So I'm really, you know, just running. And we're going to be following that PowerPoint up there because I'm cutting it down. And I'm trying to be concise as much as possible. But there is our scriptural text for today 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I'm so excited I get to be part of this series that they're preaching on gratefulness. And it is so important to be grateful. Can we put that scripture verse back up again, please? I'm sorry. All right, I want you to read it with me this time. But this time, instead of saying concerning you, I want you to say concerning me, okay? In everything, give thanks. All right, read it with me. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. You want to know the will of God? That's a good part of the will of God. Now we can go on. Thank you so much. What is gratefulness? All right, let's talk about gratefulness. It is the appreciation and esteem toward another for a gift given, a service rendered, or a sacrifice made on one's behalf. We should always be grateful. There are people that go to great lengths to help you. There are people praying for you. These pastors are praying for you. They love you with the love of God. I'm going to tell you what, we just always need to be grateful in our lives. It is a habit. It is a nature. Jesus was always grateful. We're being made into his likeness. We're being made like him. And he was always grateful. Grateful, even though he knew what he was facing, even though he knew the final outcome of what he was going to have to suffer on the cross, he was grateful to be able to be that sacrifice to reconcile you and I so we could be justified before God. Amen? He was grateful, and he did it because he loves us. So what are the characteristics of a grateful person? All right, they're quick to say thank you. Let me say something, parents. You need to teach your children and insist that they say thank you. Amen? Listen, we've just kind of let slip through our hands some of the morals and the good teaching from when I was a kid. I'm not born in the dark ages, but I'm just going to say we need to get back to some of these morals and these ethics. Teach your kids to say thank you. You know, it's a good idea for the children to say thank you, Mom, for such a good meal that you cooked. You know, when we have children's church, the kids have to ask, please. May I have that brown color, please? You know, and the other child hands it to him, and we say, thank you. Just basic things. You want your kids to walk in favor with God and man? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Please. Thank you. Amen? So, positive. People, grateful people are more positive. They're going to get more out of life. They're more joyful. They enjoy life more because they have a spirit of gratefulness. That's what God wants us to have, a spirit of gratefulness, okay? All right, we're going on. Reasons to be grateful. Now, there's just a few of them. We got billions of reasons to be grateful. We're just going to touch on a few of them, all right? First and foremost, because of God's great love for us. I pray that everyone who sets foot in this place, whether they're here today or not, can understand that the love of God is so passionate for you. You are so valuable to him. I pray that your heart will be conquered with his love, that you will be rooted and grounded in the love of God, because the basis for all of our faith and our service and our love for God is he loved me first. He loved me first. I'll never forget when we were in Russia and we had the privilege to go into the schools, and there was a girl, and I don't remember what grade it was in, but she looked and she asked us, she says, "What can I do to get God to love me?" Have you ever asked that question? And I had the privilege of telling her and the whole class, "Honey, you don't have to do a thing. He already loves you. As much as he's ever going to love you. He already loves you. He demonstrated that on the cross of Christ when he took your place and he took my place. God is not going to love you more tomorrow than what he does right here, right now, at this very moment, because we can't earn it. We don't deserve it. He is love. God is love. He can't be anything else because that's his nature, and he loves you. He loves you. Amen? And understanding that love helps us to stay humble. You know, the Bible says in Micah, he has showed you, a man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly. Do the right thing, even if nobody else around you is doing it. And to love mercy. Mercy, be merciful. And to walk humbly with your God. Because of God's great love for us. Okay, all right. Reasons to be grateful. Because God's great love for us helps us to be grateful. Amen. God knows all about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows us when we're ugly. He knows us when we're unfaithful. He knows us when we're just, we kind of sometimes act like a little spoiled brat. Oh, and kids throw their tantrums, but adults have a way of kind of, you know, doing that too. And he loves us the same. That's why you can run to him when you mess up. That's why you can run to him even when you blow it big time, because he already knows you. When he saved you and he saved me, he knew the millions of times that we would make mistakes even though we don't want to. And you know what he said? He looked at you and he said, "You're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. Everything that I have to go through and everything that I'll pay with my own life and my own blood, you're worth it." So God is so good. Gratefulness brings a right perspective. You can either look at life negatively, murmuring and complaining all the time, woe is me, you know, or you can choose to put on the other glasses, the glasses of gratefulness, realizing that God is a good God and that he blesses us every single day of our lives. And we need to take time to be aware of and count those blessings. We do not deserve any of his blessings. None of them. Do you realize that? You know, we don't. We don't deserve any of his blessings, but there is the greatest giver in all the universe. God is the greatest giver. No one ever outgives God. He teaches us what love and generosity is all about, because he gives and he keeps on giving. He says he sends the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous, the same sun. And he sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. So he shows us what generosity and love and mercy looks like. Amen? He is a good God. And if we'll understand, I never deserve it. You never deserve it. But he freely gives it because he loves to and he wants to and he delights in giving and blessing his children. Amen? James 1:17 says, "Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father." Now, we live in a sinful world, and we live in a world where people do cruel things, horrible things, mean things, all right? And a lot of people, they get hung up on the question, well, if God is the God of love, why does he allow so much suffering? We're not going to delve into that whole subject today, but just let me tell you, God is never going to violate the independent free will of any human being. He will not violate your will. He will not violate the will of another person. And so these things happen, but each one is accountable. He sees it all. He hears it all. He knows it all, but he's with you. He's with you, and he'll bring you through it. Amen. Gratefulness helps us resist being proud. Scripture says in Peter, God resists the proud. He'll literally fight against proud people. He'll fight. You don't want God fighting against you. You want God on your side. He resists the proud, you know, but he gives grace and exalts the humble, you know. Who are we? Who are we? I can't think of the English word right now. Oh gosh, I'm thinking Spanish. You know, but who are we to demand from God, or who are we to complain to God? God is God, and he's a God of love. He really is. But you know, we're nobody to complain to him. Listen, I'll never forget the time in Mexico, and we were ministering in a place that was kind of dirty, and we got bed bugs and lice at the same time. Oh God, it was horrible. It was horrible. And I have to admit, I was a little bit too embarrassed to ask one of the sisters to go through my hair, and my hair was longer at that time. My husband don't know what those things like, and his big fingers, he couldn't pull them out, you know. And so I was battling this thing, you know, kind of alone. And one day I went down into the kitchen, and I was just so exhausted, you know, and angry. And I'll never forget. It was a holy moment of the fear of the Lord. I'll never forget when the Holy Spirit came in, because I was mad at God. And I said, "God, why isn't this thing ended? Why aren't these lice dying? Why can't we get rid of these bed bugs?" And I mean, it's a mess if any of you have ever gone through that, you know. And the Holy Spirit came in and he said, "And who are you to get angry at God? Who do you think you are?" Ooh, that was a holy fear of the Lord. See, we're never afraid of God. No. But the fear of the Lord is another thing. It's another thing. It's that awesome respect for who he is, who he is. I will never forget that moment in all of my life. It has taught me a greater respect for the Father and to be grateful, so grateful for what he does. So eventually, you know, I did get another sister to go through my hair and we got rid of all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, that taught me something about just being grateful and never getting angry with God. I want to encourage you. If you guys have been through a really, really hard time, and this year's been kind of hard for everybody, and you've got angry at God, just confess it to him and tell him you're sorry, because we don't have a right to get angry at God. We have to choose gratefulness. Do you know gratefulness is something you choose? You have to make a choice. Especially when everything is going bad. You make a choice to be grateful. You make a choice to give thanks. You make a choice to count your blessings. You make a choice. It's a disciplined habit. It's a disciplined action and reaction that we want the Holy Spirit to build into our lives. I choose to be grateful. I took a 3x5 card when I was making this message, and I put on the 3x5 card, complaints prohibited here. And I taped it on my mirror because I need to be reminded. You don't have a right to complain. Amen? Hallelujah. And let me tell you, you guys living here, if you have never stepped out of the United States, you don't know how blessed you are. You don't know how blessed you are. We have a little phrase that we used in Russia and in Mexico when things are just, you know, really not very pretty and nice and very inconvenient. Smile. This is Russia. Smile. This is Mexico, you know, but we love what we do. We really do. We love being there. Anyway, gratefulness brings the right perspective. Gratefulness brings joy and attracts the presence of God. How many of you want to attract the presence of God? You want to be a carrier of the presence of God. I'm talking about the manifest presence of God. That is a desire. That is a longing that we have, carrying that manifest presence of God. If you're grateful and you let words of thankfulness come out of your mouth, you are literally attracting and inviting the presence of God into your life. You're inviting it. Oh, it's just like saying, come Holy Spirit. You are actually like a magnet. You're drawing in the presence of God. Amen? So it's really important to be grateful. All right, reasons to be grateful. There's so many of them, but we're just going to go over a couple of them here. Because God's great love for us. Oh, I think we already talked about this. Okay, four, it's a command from God. Getting mixed up. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And there's other scriptures that talk about gratefulness. You know, when we read the Word of God, He doesn't just give us His opinion. And He really doesn't make suggestions. He says, I created you. I know you. I know what's right for you. You're going to find your life if you live it in me and for me. And he gives us commands to make that possible. Amen? So the word command is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 14 and 15, he says three different times, who is the person who really loves me? The one who obeys my commands. He equates love with obedience. Don't we kind of do the same thing with our kids? Man, I had one that she was a real trip. I'm going to tell you what. Now she's worship leader, but she was so active and curious and Miss Destroyer. Just, oh my gosh. So I literally told the Lord after she was growing older, I said, God, I want another one. I'd love to have a boy, but I can't handle another one like her. You give me we just might as well stop now, you know. But anyway, she was just so active. And so one day, we were there praying at night. Always read the Bible to the kids at night. Prayed with the kids. Hope you're doing the same. And she just threw her arms around me and said, Mommy, I love you. And she wanted to give me kisses and hugs. And I said to her, if you love me, why don't you listen to me? And the Holy Spirit spoke the same thing to me. And he says, I have so many children, and they come to me with hugs and kisses and praise and worship. But they don't want to obey. They don't want to obey. He says, I don't want kids that just come to me with hugs and kisses during praise and worship. I want a people who will obey me because it's for their own good. Amen? Hallelujah. Just choosing. We have to choose, you know? All right, let's go on. All right, lack of joy might have to do with an ungrateful heart. You know, I'm not saying that's the only reason somebody is not joyful. Maybe they're just having a really hard day. But maybe it's because they haven't practiced gratefulness. You have to practice it. You have to practice being content. Honey, let me tell you, if the only thing you have in your house right now is just beans and rice, be grateful. Be grateful. Be grateful. There's so many people going hungry in the world. There's millions of people that exist. They're daily living. They only survive because of what they dig out of the garbage. So we just have to always be grateful. Amen? Hallelujah. Look, there's a lot of people. You could have been born in India or in Africa, where one in every four lacks food, adequate food, shelter, clean water to drink, clothes, shoes on their feet. We're no better than they are. We're absolutely no better. We're just so blessed. That's why it's awesome to take up offerings for those who have been ravaged by flooding and hurricane or earthquakes. Because we are so blessed. We are so blessed. I hope none of you has ever had to sleep in the street. But there's so many of them, even here, that still do. Because they don't have a place. And we could have been one of them. God chose to allow you to be born here in the United States of America, or maybe some of you are from another country and you're living here now, but you could have been born in another place like that. You could have grown up suffering even for the very basic needs like they do from day to day. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have so much to be grateful for. Count your blessings. How many of you have heard that hymn, Count Your Blessings? Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. When you begin to count your blessings, you'll get your mind off of being whiny and complaining, and you'll realize just how very much you have to be thankful for. But it's a habit. See, God wants us to be able to instill that habit in our life. And I'm sure some of you already have it, and he wants you to increase it. And maybe some of you don't have it so much. Well, that's what I'm talking about today, is we're going to begin a new habit. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to work a new discipline in our lives that brings in the presence of God. And it helps us to be that kind of person that God wants us to be, choosing gratefulness. Amen. God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Always. You sang it today. Always. Always. Amen? And let's see. I don't know if they have that next point. Okay. No, they don't. All right. I'm just going to tell you something. God will even come through for you if you believe him when you mess it up, when you make a stupid mistake. How many here has made a dumb mistake before? Amen? And, you know, and the devil would like you to think, you can't ask God to help you. That was your fault. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have went there. Not. God's love is so amazing. He will pull you out. He'll extend his hand. He'll pull you out. He'll make a way. He'll come through for you even when you make a dumb mistake. Last year we went to the beach. It was the first time we went with our daughter Renee in I think like 10 years or so. It's been a long time. So we went to the beach. So I was supposed to be watching my grandson who has Down syndrome on the beach, and he's being real quiet under an umbrella there, and my granddaughter was out in the water, and she's 15. So I went out in the water with her, but I did a dumb thing. I said, well, I'm only going to go out about up to here, right? You know. So I went out, and I went in with my glasses on, and instead of leaving them on the table. So I get out there, you know, and the water is about right here, but, you know, they got those waves that come higher than what you think they're going to. And so the waves started coming in, and like a dummy, instead of getting out of the water and saying, Elizabeth, just hang on for a minute, let Grandma go put her glasses up, you know, I did one of this numbers. I put my glasses on top of my head. So I thought, oh, well, they're going to be safe there, you know. But then another wave comes in that's higher than what we expected, and off they go. And I lost my glasses, and I do not see well at all without my glasses. And it was the first day of our vacation, 3 days. And I said, God, I did a dumb thing. I confess, you know. But I don't want to be miserable for these next 3 days because I can't see. And I came out of the water, and I said, Lord, how many of you heard the story of Elisha? you know, where the prophet, son of the prophet was chopping down a tree and the axe head flew off and it went in the water, right? And he's like, oh my gosh, I borrowed that. Boy, when you borrow something, you're responsible to get it back in good condition, eh? And he realized that and he's like, what am I going to do? He couldn't pay for that axe. So prophet cuts down the tree branch, says, show me where it is, puts the tree branch out and the axe head floats. I said, no, God. You can make an axe head float. You can bring my glasses back. And I began to walk back and forth for about 5 minutes right there on the shore expecting to see these glasses come back. These are the ones, you know. And, so they didn't come back. And I'm walking back and forth. My grandson's there. I'm walking back and forth. And I said, okay, God, I'm not going to be upset, but I know you can come through for me. So you know what? I'm just going to go out with my granddaughter. I'm going to have a good time, and you're going to do something here. And so I went back out with her. Okay, about 4 or 5 minutes had passed, and I got close to where she was, and we were bobbing up and down in the water, and my right foot touches something unusual. I go under the water, and it was my glasses. How many of you know an angel held them there? After 4 or 5 minutes, you just don't find something light like a pair of glasses. God will get you out of trouble even when you make dumb mistakes. And even worse ones than that, He is faithful. He is faithful. You can be grateful because He is faithful. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go on. Amen. Just like gratefulness attracts the presence of God, guess what? The opposite's also true. Complaining attracts the presence of the enemy. I don't know about you, but I don't need the presence of the enemy in my life. I don't want him anywhere around me, you know? So one of the ways you can be sure that that's not going to happen is be careful what comes out of your mouth. Let's not complain. Let's not murmur. I mean, things will always go wrong at some point in time or other. Things out of your control will always happen. This is just one thing. But there are many things in life that happen out of our control. You know, the number one rule in the mission field is thou shalt be flexible. And the number two rule is thou shalt persevere. God gave me that as the 11th commandment years ago. And he said, nothing will happen unless you learn to persevere. So he gave me an 11th one, thou shalt persevere. Not a thou shalt not, thou shalt. Amen. So you're going to be flexible. But we have got to be careful not to complain. You know, how does it make you feel when you go to a birthday party or something and you've sacrificed? I mean, you sacrificed, you know, money that could have gone for something else that was really important to buy that person a present, and you go there and they open it up and they just toss it to the side and don't even say thank you. Has that ever happened to you? That's happened to us. And how does that make you feel? Not very good, does it? They didn't appreciate that at all. They didn't appreciate my sacrifice. Well, how does it make God feel when he gives and he gives and he gives and he blesses and blesses day after day, and we just don't even take the time to say thank you? Amen. You remember the story of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17? And there were 10 lepers, and they all had a fatal disease, and they knew they were going to die with it, and it was just horrible because it eats away at the members of your body, your fingers, your toes, your nose, your ears, and you can't feel it, but you just have this gross eating away of the flesh. They were separated from their families, weren't allowed into town, but they saw Jesus from a distance and cried out, and he said, go show yourself to the priest. On the way, as they obeyed, they were healed, and one ran back to say thank you. And he was a foreigner. He wasn't a Jew. He was a foreigner. One ran back to say thank you. What an example for us. That we don't just take granted the blessings that God gives us day after day after day. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Going on. Why do people complain? Millions of reasons. We're just going to cover a few of them. Maybe because they feel like they deserve more than what they have. You know, we're brainwashed to a large extent here. If you watch a lot of television, you're definitely brainwashed. Those commercials that come in started way back with McDonald's. You deserve a break today. And I sit there with my mother-in-law because I'm here taking care of my mother-in-law who's 93 with dementia. And I mean, we have practically TBN Little House on the Prairie or the Word Channel on all day, which I love that. It's so much word. It's incredible. But in between all those commercials and the insurance company and get what you deserve and the, this one and you deserve more. And I'm like, my God, if people are listening to this and not analyzing carefully, they're being duped, you know? Can I just be real honest with you? Honey, we don't deserve anything that we have. I mean, nothing that we have. It comes to us from the hand of a loving God, but we don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. We don't deserve His love. We don't deserve His grace. We don't deserve His salvation. We don't deserve anything, but He gives it freely because He's a good God. He gives it. But when we get into the mentality, we deserve it, then we've gotten off track. And we start thinking incorrectly, and we start acting incorrectly. There's people that have a victim mentality. Listen, I know life can be hard, and life has been hard for a lot of people. It may be really hard for you right now. It's hard for children growing up. It's hard for teens. It's hard. There are traumas that have to be overcome. There are victories that have to be won. God is with us, but He does not want us to live in a victim mentality. Joyce Meyer talks about all this all the time. If you watch her, you know some of the things she went through. But God says, I am here with you. I am here to help you. Surely I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Pick yourself up off the floor and let's walk together. Let's do it together. But you don't have to stay a victim. You don't have to stay a victim. We are not called to be victims. We're called to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what we're called to be. Because He won the victory, you have the victory, and I have the victory. He said, because I live, you also will live. Amen? We have so much to look forward to, and we have so much to be thankful for. Amen. Envy and covetousness. You know, the last of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet. And if we're not easy, we can. You know, well, so-and-so just got a new car. Why can't I ever do that? Or so-and-so just got a raise on their job. I've been here longer than they have. I want a raise. You know, it's so easy. It's so easy. But these are traps of the enemy. Traps that the enemy sets for us to work a harmful, poisonous plant that grabs a hold of our heart, and it will contaminate us and everybody else around us. Envy and covetousness. Listen, the Bible says, be content with what you have. That does not mean that you can't have more, but there's also another scripture that says you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Listen, God is our provider, and He can provide without you telling Him who's supposed to do it. Amen? How many times have you prayed, God, touch the heart of so-and-so that they'll give for the need? I used to do that. I really did. God rebuked me. So what are you looking at her for? Just because she's got money. I said, don't they see how we're living? Don't they see how we're struggling? We can't pay all of our bills. It was a rich sister, my husband. And he said, get your eyes off of her. Her money belongs to her. It's not your responsibility how she spends it. It's a blessing for me. Get your eyes on me. I'm Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, your provider. So you have to learn how to depend on God. Amen. Going on. Hallelujah. All right. God uses hardships to test our heart. Amen. To form. He is the potter. We're the clay. It's not easy being on the potter's wheel. It's not easy being squeezed. It's not easy being molded and shaped, but I have a burning desire to be a vessel of honor. Amen? A vessel of honor that He can use for His purposes and for His glory. So He uses the hard times to test our heart. A lot of times we don't know what's in our heart. Like when I had the lice and the bed bugs together, oh my gosh, I didn't think that ugliness was in my heart. I really didn't. But boy, it brought it out. It's like a tea bag. When I make tea, I like it real strong. I mean, the stronger, the better. I don't leave that bag in there for no 3 minutes. I pour boiling water on it, honey. No microwave stuff. No, I boil that water on the stove, and I let it sit for 10 minutes to a half an hour sometimes. I mean, I want all the potency, you know? So The thing is that when we get into a fiery trial, when we get into a difficult place like hot water, that's when what's inside of us comes out. And you're not going to see it until you're in that place. And God already knows what's in there, but he has to show us what's in there so that we can bring it to him and say, oh, help me, God. I repent. Amen. We got to be able to choose gratefulness, guys. The Israelites, when they were in the desert, after seeing all those miracles, and you don't even need to use that anymore. After seeing all those miracles, the 10 plagues, opening up the Red Sea, they saw those miracles. But when they got into the desert and they got to a place where the water was bitter and they couldn't drink it, what was the first thing they did? Complained. And murmured against the leader instead of saying, oh, God, we've just seen all these fantastic miracles. The God who delivered us from slavery, the God who parted the Red Sea is more than able to give us good water to drink. Moses, would you pray? God's going to do something here. No, they complained. And again, because of the manna. And again, when they didn't have water and God brought it from the rock. Let me tell you, God wants to remind us we need to be a grateful people. We need to be, and not just at Thanksgiving, every day, every single day of our lives, we need to be grateful, grateful, be grateful for others, be grateful for others. Amen. If there's a person in your life that is treating you like an enemy, you know, at least you can say, well, thank you, God. He has an eternal soul like I have an eternal soul, and I want to see him saved. If you can't find anything else, say, God, you made him in your image and likeness, just like you made me in your image and likeness. And he has great value to you, just like I have value to you. Amen? There's always something that you can be grateful for. We need to align our thoughts to his thoughts. And we need to align our will to his will. You know that's what repentance is. I come with my stinking thinking. I come with my false concepts and my ideas, and I see what the word says, and I have to make a choice. I line up my thoughts with his thoughts. I line up my will with his will. Amen? Because he's God and I'm not, and he's so wonderful. I pray that every one of your hearts will be captivated by the awesome, unfailing, unchanging love of God. That he'll captivate your heart. That you will just melt in the presence of a wonderful God who loves you so much. That there will be total surrender and that we will have grateful hearts and that we'll choose to be grateful. If you're like me, get a card and write it down. Write it down. Or put a little thingy on your phone. You know, they have those little alarms and those little reminders, and my husband has them, Galarm and all kinds of stuff. And just set it, you know, every 30 minutes. Pop up on your phone. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be grateful. Give thanks. Amen? It takes 3 weeks to about a month to make a good habit. Some of you are already in this habit, and God just wants to increase it. Others of you really haven't made this a habit yet, and God's saying, I'm calling you to choose. It's time. It's time. It's time that my people walk in gratefulness, that they choose gratefulness, that they discipline their emotions and their thoughts no matter what happens. Be grateful. Be grateful. We have such an awesome inheritance to look forward to. Amen? We don't have a house. We don't have a house here. We don't have a house in Mexico. But I said, God, that mansion over there is beyond what I can ever even imagine. Hallelujah. We have so much to be thankful for. So why don't we all stand to our feet and we're going to pray. Now I just want to ask you, lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, here we are. Honest and sincere before you. First of all, God, we just want to ask you to forgive us for complaining, for murmuring. Oh, there might be a lot of things we don't like about other people, but we sure are grateful that they're created in your image and likeness, and we can love them. We can choose to love them. We can get on our knees and we can pray for your love, and we can choose to be patient. We can choose to be kind. It's a matter of choice. So forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, when we've complained. We want to cancel every assignment of the enemy against us. because of our complaining. We put it under the blood of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to take that burning coal from the altar. When you called Isaiah, he said, "Oh God, what am I going to do? I am unclean. I have unclean lips, and I live in the midst of people with unclean lips." And the angel came and brought that coal and touched his mouth. And we say, "God, touch our mouth. Take that coal, touch my mouth. Touch my tongue. Touch my thoughts, oh God. Oh, that my thoughts would be grateful, that it would become second nature to me, Lord, that would even outthinking, Lord God, that habit would be so instilled within me, Lord, I would just automatically, Lord, go to gratefulness instead of complaining. Gratefulness, gratefulness with thanksgiving, Lord. Oh, God, just give us grateful hearts. Work in us, transform us, Lord. Help us to increase that habit that many already have, Lord God. And for those that haven't started, well, we just say, God, we declare a change in our lives. And we're just going to declare with determination, a holy determination, complaining stops here. I will be grateful. I will be thankful. I will count my blessings. I will praise you. And I will give thanks in all things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise. He's a good God. Amen.
Amen. We encourage you right after service, come pray with Miss Tina. She's going to be up here at the front. We love you guys. If you want to be at the new members' luncheon, we're starting 10 minutes in the Hope Cafe. And if not, we'll see you Wednesday at 6:30 and next Sunday outside service, 10:30 in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you guys soon.